Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, sponsored by Night Guard Solar. Your guaranteed solar power protection against nighttime predators. Visit them online at nightguard.com. That's NITEGUARD.com. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author Pat Foreman. Today is Wednesday, April 28th, and I'd like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.net. That's chickenwhisperer.net. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, and sign up for our monthly newsletter, The Chicken Scratch. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the world. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guest when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button at our homepage at Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on into the live chat room and take part in the webcams, the videos, the chat, the live questions, everything that we have to offer here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. I also want to take a moment to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite while you're there and request to be on our friends list. I want to thank you all for tuning in today to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, sponsored by Night Guard Solar. That's NITEGUARD.com. We got a great show lined up for you today. Anitra Kerr is going to be here talking about dehydrating fruits. And we come back after this short break, we'll welcome my wonderful, wonderful co-host, poultry advocate and author, Pat Foreman. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this short break.
There will always be something that will love your chickens more than you. That's why I use Night Guard Solar to protect my flock. Night Guard Solar has successfully been manufacturing and selling Night Guard Solar lights for over 12 years and offers a one-year warranty and complete money-back guarantee. No waiting. Night Guard Solar will be shipped within 48 hours of your order. Order your Night Guard Solar lights today at nightguard.com. That's NITEGUARD.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at EggCartons.com or call toll-free 1-882-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Mention the coupon code WHISPER and get 10% off your entire order. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's EggCartons.com.
Night Guard Solar would like to extend a special introductory offer to all the Chicken Whisperer listeners. Get 4 Night Guard Solar lights for just $100 plus shipping. That's a savings of $20. All you have to do is mention the coupon code WHISPER when you call an order. Take advantage of this great special right now by calling 1-800-328-6647. That's 1-800-328-6647. Or visit them online at nightguard.com. That's NITEGUARD.com.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
No, it's really not Super Chicken. It's just Andy, the Chicken Whisperer, and my wonderful co-host, poultry advocate and author, Pat Foreman. Welcome to the show, Pat.
Hey, Whisperer. It's always good to be on the show. How are you doing today? I heard you got some mulch delivered yesterday.
We did, and I was going to take pictures. It's always after the thought or after the event that you think about things, but I was thinking about, you know, I was like, man, I should have got video of this and shown people how, you know, anyway. So that's all water under the bridge now, but yeah, we had 10 yards of mulch delivered for our chicken runs. Actually, we've got three chicken runs in our backyard, plus a chicken tractor. We've got 35 chickens, and each chicken run, which the coop sits in the middle of, is about 20 feet by 20 feet. So our whole area is about 60 by 20. And
that's a lot of run.
That's a lot of run. And we got 10 yards of mulch for that, and it's just basically wood chips. We can call it mulch. And about 2 to 3 times a year, we actually do that. We till the run real good with the garden tiller. Of course, it's not running, so we just kind of, well, you know, we get good drainage with the run and whatnot. So we'll till it down real good, and then we'll put about a quarter inch of powdered or a pulverized lime down, and then we'll put about 3 to 4 inches of mulch on top of that. And we do that maybe 2 to 3 times a year, depending on how lazy we are, and it works just fine. But, you know, we've got the 2010 Atlanta Chicken Coop Tour coming up this Saturday, so we want to make sure everything is presentable for everybody. So we've got the mulch, and we've got the garden planted, and we're working a little bit around the house to get things presentable for the folks to come and learn all about backyard poultry. So still working on that, getting maps printed, the tickets and things like that. Oakhurst Gardens, our friend Stephanie down there is working on that for this weekend. So if you're within a decent driving distance of the city of Atlanta, we have coops all over. I haven't got a final number. Somewhere between 20 and 30 coops are on this tour, inside and outside the perimeter, and you'll see all different types of coops. You take advantage and pick the folks' brains about raising poultry, ask your questions, the whole nine yards, and you can come on out and see where it all got started for the Chicken Whisperer as well, and see our setup and how we do things with the compost bin, the garden, the chicken runs, the chicken tractor, the biopod, the worms, the water barrels, and soon-to-be windmill. So on a third of an acre, and the worms, can't forget the worms. So hopefully we'll have a decent cloud. 50-50 rain chance right now, but bring an umbrella. That's all you got to do. Bring an umbrella and come on out and walk in our backyards and take a look at how we set up and ask us questions about raising backyard poultry. So definitely looking forward to this weekend, the 2010. And you can get information all about it. Sign up, buy your tickets at www.oakhurstgardens.org. And I'm trying to think. Let me check and make sure. I don't know if there's an S on the end of that or not. So let me go to it right now. www.oakhurstgardens. We'll try the S. .org. Let's see if that sends you where you need to be. Nope. So it must be just no S. It must just be Oakhurst Garden. I'm going to go ahead and remove the S, and we'll go to it again. I just want to make sure I give you the right information. And there it is. Yep. Yep, there it is, the coop tour. So you'd go to www.oakhurstgarden.org, www.oakhurstgarden.org, and you can buy your tickets right there online. And then it's a self-guided tour, and you can see all the coops around Atlanta and go and ask all the chickeneers any kind of questions you may have if you're looking at getting started this spring. So looking forward to that this weekend. What do you got planned for this weekend, Pat? Oh, looks like we might have, hang on just a second. Let me go over there. She just sent me an instant message that she got booted, so she's going to have to call in. I don't see you on the switchboard yet, Pat, so just come on back. I'm going to go ahead and open our Facebook page. If you want to keep up with the radio show, of course, you can do that at chickenwhisperer.net, but probably the most updated site is our Facebook page, facebook.com, search for the Chicken Whisperer, and we've got all different types of things there. Chickens in the news and whatnot, what's going on. In fact, yesterday, Christine Heinrich posted a couple of great links about a chicken show. And also, we want to invite everybody to send Loyal Stromberg a birthday card. He's turning 96 years old. He is the founder of Stromberg's Hatchery. Stromberg's Hatchery has been around forever. And he has too. My goodness, 96 years old. That is due some respect and birthday cards from people all around this great land. So we posted that on our Facebook page too. We posted the information. We posted the physical address where you can send Mr. Stromberg, 96 years old, a birthday card. Wouldn't that be great if he gets thousands and thousands of birthday cards from people all across the country? Wish him a happy 96th birthday, but tell him, thank him for all he's done for the backyard poultry movement over the years that he's owned and operated Stromberg's Hatchery, and he's a founding member of the SPPA. So if anybody deserves a birthday card at 96, it's Loyal. And so we have that posted on our Facebook page as well. Pat, welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back. I've never had that happen with my cell phone before. They just said the signal was totally lost. So I'm calling it on the landline. It's always good to have options.
It is, yes. We do have backups here, so and we got some great information that we're coming in loud and clear today, so we love that. Always good to hear that.
Yeah.
Also,
actually,
I wanted to...
Whisper, I'll need a sound check because I switched to headsets. I don't want to come in too loud and blast anyone out when I giggle.
Sure, you're sounding good to me. I hear a little bit of a hum, but I think we can tolerate that. We'll get a sound check in the chat room and let everybody know how Pat is sounding today now that she's calling on a different device than normal. Got a couple of chickens in the news here that you can see on our Facebook page, but one comment I want to make before we get to our special guest, Anitra, with Simplify Your Life with Anitra Kerr today, talking about dehydrating fruits. A couple of interesting here. Jody Rothfield, I'm not sure it says where she's from, but she posted something on our Facebook page. She said, "It's amazing how fear of things can really make people crazy. I haven't even put up the coop or received my chickens yet, and my neighbors have already called the town on me."
Oh.
I politely made sure they were aware so they would be comfortable with the idea. That backfired. Now I have to apply for zoning permits and et cetera. It would be nice if people would see the setup first before passing judgment. Sheesh. And so, Jody, I feel your pain, and I made a comment to this. And before I forget, let me – if I have some time today, I want to try to get it in today and tomorrow, tonight. I'm going to be writing an article, and it's probably going to be the most detailed and chock-full article I've ever written, and I want it to just spread over the entire country. I want it to hit magazines and papers, and I want town halls and city councils, and it's going to be probably the most detailed article I've ever written. It's going to cover all the myths and misunderstandings. It's going to be talk about some of the comments I've heard over the years with like, you're going to put chicken poop in the garbage, and then I return and say, well, what did you do with your baby's poop for the 3 years they were in diapers? You put human poop in the garbage. What's the difference? I know, just people don't think. What are you going to do if a chicken dies? What are you going to do with the carcass? Well, some people may bury it. Some people may just drop it in the garbage can. You're going to put a chicken carcass in the garbage can? Sir, what did you do with the rotisserie chicken carcass you didn't finish last night for dinner? You put it in the garbage can. So just these stupid things that I've heard over the years, I'm putting it all in this article. So hopefully it can actually be just a very good location for people to go, or to copy and paste letter to the editors at the newspapers, city council members, whatever, so they don't have to reinvent the wheel, and we can get this spread out there. Hopefully, I may have to take a couple of days on it. Cross my I's, dot my T's. But I'm gonna start on it today. Maybe by the end of the week, you know, with scheduling. But I'm gonna put everything that I know of that I've experienced and dealt with changing laws and myths and rumors and nipping this in the bud. Referrals to like CDC.gov where it says on their questions and answers forum. I keep a small backyard yard of chickens. Do I need to be concerned about bird flu? And of course CDC.gov. No, absolutely not. There's no reason to get rid of your chickens due to the threat of bird flu. That's thousands of miles away where they don't have running water, where they don't have sanitation, where they're living with their chickens in the same house. So all of that information, talking about chickens attracting mice and rats, where we know that's blatantly false. Chickens themselves do not attract mice and rats. It's the food source and water source. If you have a chicken water in your backyard, it's no different than a potted plant sitting on your back deck with a reservoir, because that is a water source for mice and rats. So it doesn't matter if it's a potted plant or a chicken water, you have a water source for rats and plants. If you have a bird feeder in your backyard, there you go. You have a food source for mice and rats, not unlike a chicken feeder. So there you go, folks. I'm going to go through all of this stuff, and as it rolls off the tongue, it's a little bit harder to put on paper, because I say it just about every day, but putting on paper is a little bit different. I'm going to try to get that out maybe by the end of the week, maybe have to work on it over the weekend. But hopefully very soon, next few days, I'll release that, and it can go viral, and it can get out there, and it'll be something people can use. Again, city council members and homeowners associations, the whole nine yards about busting all these myths. I did something like this about a year ago, very, very simple, but this will be new and updated and include more information about all the crazy things we've heard. So, Jody, we feel your pain. My response here, like to her talking about that, was, Jody, that is one of the most commonly made mistakes. I have heard this many times. They will tell you to your face that it's okay, and then the first ones to complain are your neighbors that said it was okay. I said, I don't recommend this to anyone. It is easier to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission in some cases. I'm not condoning that anyone break the law, but folks, if you're going to get chickens, just do it. Because I've heard so many times people say, you know, they go over to the neighbor, they want to do the right thing, they want to be neighborly-like, and they go over there and talk about it, and to their face, they'll be like, oh, yeah, I think that'll be fine, no problem, go ahead. And then next thing you know, boom, they're the first ones to call on you, especially if they know that you're doing it under the radar. So here's the power you may have, or one more thing you can add to your list if you go ahead and get them. Again, not condoning people break the law. If you're going to get chickens, you make that decision. You're going to get them, you're going to get them, no matter what I say. But the issue there is, in a lot of cases, some people may have chickens for months, maybe even a couple of years before their neighbors even find out. So if and when they do find out and they come up to you, or city council comes up to you, the zoning officer, and says, we have a nuisance complaint. What nuisance? Oh, we have chickens. Okay, well, I've had chickens for 2 years, so how in the world, if you're just finding out about it, they be a nuisance? So here you can say, hey, I've had them for months, I've had them for years, I've had them for 2 years, I've had them for 8 months. You didn't even know I had them. So how in the world for 8 months you didn't even know I had them, they be categorized as a nuisance? So, just completely amazing how all that works. But, yeah, after hearing story after story after story about this, where people consult their neighbors about getting backyard chickens, to their face they're like, oh, yeah, everything's fine, and they're the first ones to complain, the tune has changed. Just do it. If you choose to do it, and then if your neighbors find out, your neighbors may not even find out at all. So it's moot to ask them. And I've heard this 1,000 times. Yeah, but I have really good neighbors. We've known each other for years. Yeah, okay, go ahead and tell them, and then see what happens when they call on you, and then come back to me and say, yep, you were right. So I've heard it many, many, many times. So again, not condoning that you break any type of laws, but at the same time, I'm sharing with you story after story that we've heard about people that have actually consulted their neighbors about getting chickens, and then it backfiring on them. So just wanted to share that story with you. Another one here on Facebook. I have a question about showing chickens. How can I find a poultry show nearby? My daughter and I are interested in showing our chickens in the future. How can I find out about this? And, of course, I put down there a very easy answer. What you need to do is subscribe to Poultry Press. That's one item you can do. I think it's about $25 a year. Great, great publication. Bill Wolf is the creator and owner of that. I think his daughter is doing a lot about running that publication now. It's www.poultrypress.com. great publication if you're on the show scene or want to know about shows or you show chickens or want to get information. Great, great publication. Also, Christine Heinrich's website, poultrybookstore.com, www.poultrybookstore.com, has a pretty good, it doesn't have every show on the planet Earth, and Poultry Press may even be hard-pressed to do that, but Poultry Press probably is number one if you're looking for scheduled shows all across the world, but also Christine Heinrich, poultrybookstore.com, if you're looking. She's got a really good list of shows that's nationwide as well. So these are just some of the things you can see when you get there on Facebook page. We've got one here, got a question. I have 8 chickens, about a month old now. I'm looking at building a tractor. About how big does it need to be? Of course, we answer that question. So it's just a great resource. And if you're on there, feel free to answer these questions. Don't just wait on me to come around to it. If you know the answer, there may be 10 right answers to one question. So share the way you do things, and then we can all learn from each other. So, but that's one good benefit of going to Facebook.com and then searching for the Chicken Whisperer. We're going to go to a short commercial break, folks. When we come back, it's Wednesday. Which means it's another episode of Simplify Your Life with Anitra Kerr. And this is a historic moment because this will be, unfortunately, Anitra Kerr's last Simplify Your Life with Anitra Kerr show on Blog Talk Radio. Her plate is overflowing with awesomeness and success. So she's got so many things on her plate. She's going to have to break away from doing the show. She's been here for several months. Tons and tons of information. You probably have pages and pages of notes from all of her shows. But today, we're going to be talking about dehydrating fruits. So, again, during the commercial break, get your pen and paper out, folks, because, again, you're going to learn so much information today. So we'll be back right after this short break.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com. You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in just any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends and neighbors with your very own custom-labeled egg carton from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com and save 10% off your entire order by using the coupon code WHISPER. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com. One of the biggest responsibilities we have as backyard poultry owners is to keep our flocks safe from predators. Sometimes this is easier said than done. Until now, costing only pennies per day to operate, NightGuard Solar is completely weatherproof and will provide complete predator protection for years to come, using daylight or sunlight to power itself. Order your NightGuard Solar lights today at NightGuard.com. That's NITEGUARD.com. McMurray Hatchery is the world's oldest and largest rare breed hatchery. They have been providing their customers quality poultry since 1917 and have more than 110 different breeds to choose from. Be sure to sign up for their weekly special email at McMurrayHatchery.com and receive a $5 internet exclusive coupon to use on your first internet order. McMurray Hatchery, the world's largest and oldest rare breed hatchery.
Okay, folks, can you hear me okay, Pat?
Yep. Yes, let me. Yes, can you hear me?
I can. Yep, I just had a little meltdown here, so I apologize about that. Let's see if we're back up and running with the switchboard, so I can bring Anitra on. Hang on 1 second.
And the mighty herd against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty. Well, the switchboard seems to be back up. I can run the commercials, and I think Anitra now is live with us as well as you, Pat. Welcome, Anitra.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Andy, I feel excited by listening to you this morning that if you ever get sick of raising chickens, you'd make a great auctioneer. Wow, you can talk a million miles an hour. That's unbelievable.
I put in, and to think I was born and raised in the South right here in Atlanta,
but
it's...
Wow. Do you ever have to take naps?
I'm not a nap person at all, and very, very rare, because I lay down to take a nap, and I'm thinking, I could be doing this, I could be doing that, I could be doing this, I could be doing that. I did, you know, pretty much public speaking for about 8 years as a trainer for a corporation, so it's it just rubs off. But I put in the chat room just a minute ago, I was like, man, I can talk fast sometimes, can I? But it just rolls off the tongue, and I say it so often, it just rolls off and flows so easily. So thank you for that compliment,
like the
I think.
Notes, you know? Too bad, you know, do you have any kids, Andy?
Not yet.
You don't have any kids. Well, you know what? One day, I guess you'd be a good cliff noter. You know, you just read the book to them, and there you go. They'd get it all.
And say, here's what's going on. Yeah. No little chicken
Andy,
whispers yet.
I'm still
yet,
waiting
but...
for my chickens. I keep threatening my boys. I have 4 boys, and I keep saying, you know, we're going to have to buy a cow one day because we drink so much milk. We're going to have to put a cow in our backyard. But chickens
but
are
with all the
start.
Yeah, with all the baking and cooking you do, you've got to have fresh eggs, Anitra.
Well, I do need fresh eggs. I just am waiting for this perfect coop to land in my backyard, and I don't have any neighbors that would you know, we have coyotes, but bobcats and deer that might eat the chickens, but, you know, other than that, I don't think I have to worry about any neighbors. Yeah, so anyway.
Probably better to have coyotes and bobcats than neighbors.
Than nasty neighbors.
Exactly.
Oh, dear. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah,
well,
I guess if all else. No problem. Thank you, and thank you for all your great service to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer over months and months of just incredible, valuable information that you've shared with all of our listeners. We hate to see you go, but we know your plate overfloweth with great things, and so we understand and appreciate that, and we will. I'm sure all of our listeners are new fans and will continue to follow you on your website, and just if you'll tell us real quick, because I think I have got to get this thing to go with everything else that I have on my property. But I noticed in your newsletter or the special announcement that you've got a great deal on the solar oven, I've had experience with that. I had a friend, he is no longer with us, but he had that solar oven, and oh my gosh, the thing is absolutely awesome. So if you want to tell us about that and the special that you're doing.
Sure, I'm actually running a special through May, but for the next 4 days, I'm only offering these free things for 4 days. But I have the guru of Sun Oven. His name's Paul, and he's from Sun Ovens International. He's going to be coming on the 8th here, and he's going to be presenting an hour of just all about the solar oven. I'm thrilled, and we've got hundreds of people literally signed up for this event. It's free. You can just log in. If you go to my website, simplylivingsmart.com, and look in the events and calendar section, you can just register free for the event, watch it on your computer, and you can ask him all kinds of questions. He'll be right here in my kitchen, and he'll be answering you guys, so I'm thrilled. And so along with that, I'm offering a great, great promotion on the Sun Oven. So for the next 4 days, you can get the Sun Oven for $30 off the oven, plus $55 in free kitchen tools that are made just to go with the Sun Oven. So you get their wonderful 1 month of Sunday dinner ideas, and then I think there's breads too, and probably desserts and all kinds of things. And then you also get a 3-quart enamel cooking pot that's made to go in the solar oven, and 2 brownie sheet baking sheets, so all included. And that's almost $100 worth of savings on this global oven. And I have looked and looked and looked and looked, and I thought, you know what is the very, very bottom lowest thing I can do so that all of these people can take advantage, because you know what, there is so much to be had with a solar oven. And as we're talking about dehydrating today, you can even dehydrate in your solar oven. And I've watched so many videos on people demonstrating this. I can't wait to get my hands on mine, but I think it's so clever because, you know, you don't need it. It can be 20 degrees below outside, and as long as you have sunshine, you can bake. I mean, isn't that great? You can bake bread. You can bake all these things, and you don't have to store any fuel, and that's huge. I think so many people are afraid of storing or just don't have the room to store all this fuel, so I think the global sun oven is just the way to go. So, again, that particular thing where I'm giving away the $55 of free kitchen tools is available to you this Saturday, May 1st, and you can find all the details on simplylivingsmart.com. You just go to the section that says Shop Easy and go into my shopping cart. So anyway, take advantage of that. But I'm just
perfect.
Amazed.
One more time, I know.
Yeah.
I know we say this just about every show, but we had about 8 people in the chat room say they're having a hard time hearing you. I don't have any volume controls on your end, don't mind.
Okay.
Absolutely, and I apologize, but for 30 more minutes, the last time you have to do it.
It happens every time. We're in the middle of kind of a snowstorm here in Salt Lake City, so it happens every time. It's a little strange.
It sure does.
But anyway, yeah. All right. Well, today, so let's talk about it. And thank you, Andy. I just have to thank you so much for having me on your show. I've so enjoyed it. And now that I'm kind of doing my own online shows, it's just really kind of taken over. But really great great support and great people, and I appreciate you. I'll be back as a guest, I hope.
Oh, yeah.
Love to come
anytime.
Back. Yeah. So anyway, but today I thought we'd talk about dehydrating fruits because we kind of skipped that, and we talked about dehydrating vegetables. So fruits are really quite different than vegetables in that they're not as tough. Their outer skin isn't as tough. But there are things that you have to watch out for with fruit that you don't have with vegetables. So with fruits, I'm just going to kind of go through and tell you which ones are the ideal for drying. Then we're going to talk about some drying tools, and then we're going to talk about how to implement these dried foods into your everyday meals to make healthy food. So really the one thing I want to stress first is that drying your food is really so much healthier than canning your food, and I don't mean to offend people who can. I think canning is a great thing, but it does rob your fruit of more of the vitamins, and especially if you're adding sugar to the canned fruit, it's just not as healthy. So dried fruit lasts longer than canned fruit. It's not as bulky, of course, and you can really keep track of the sugar that goes in there. So let's talk about some of the fruits that are ideal for drying. And they start, of course, with apples. And I'm going to talk about each one and how you would go about dehydrating them. Apples are a really great, great fruit. My favorite to dry are the Granny Smith apples. And the reason why is because I love the tartness. But then when I do mine, I slice them really thin, and we'll talk about the tools in a minute that are really great. But I slice them really thin, and then I dip them in pineapple juice so that they stay nice and bright and white, or you can do lemon juice if you want. And then I put them on my trays, and then I sprinkle one side with cinnamon sugar. Okay, you don't have to do that, but I love it because one side's tart and the other one's kind of sweet. And if you visit my website, Simply Living Smart, that is one of the videos that I've shown is how to do dehydrated apples. And the nice thing is when you're dehydrating apples, I use pineapple juice just right out of the can, but of course I don't want my pineapple to go to waste. So I just take those rings, those pineapple rings, and plunk them right on the tray as well. And those take a little longer to dry, but they're really chewy and really delicious. So that's an easy way to do apples and pineapple at the same time. I'm going to talk really quickly about this tool before I forget about it. And this also is on the website, but you've probably seen them everywhere. And it's called an apple peeler core slicer. It's kind of a big mouthful. But what you do is you just put this apple on kind of a turning little rod. You turn, and the machine... it's this manual thing. It peels and it cores and it slices your apple all at the same time. I mean, within a couple of seconds. So it's so nice. You take and just score that big apple that's already cored and sliced. You just slice it in half, dip your pieces, stick them on your trays, and off you go. Now, when we talked about dehydrating vegetables, I told you need to make sure to spray your trays because they'll stick. They get really thin and they tend to stick to your trays. But you don't have to do that with fruit. Fruit has so much water. And it does fine. I've never had fruit stick except for fruit leather, and we'll talk about that in a minute. So apples, that's the really ideal is to cut them, you know, to an eighth of an inch, just really teeny tiny. And then, of course, I just do mine in slices. You'll have fruits that you can wedge. You have fruits that you can do in half, and we'll talk about those as we go. Apricots are a great fruit to dehydrate. If you've done apricots before, you want to make sure that you don't take the mealy apricots. You know, sometimes we get these apricots that are so delicious just to pop in your mouth, and it's just like a burst of juice. Those are too juicy to dehydrate it. So you want to have them a little bit firm, but not underdone, not undercooked, okay? So if it's just perfect for eating and it's sweet still, it's perfect for drying. That's really the key. If it's overdone, if it's a little too ripe, then use that to make your fruit leather because that really adds a lot of sweetness to the fruit leather naturally. So apricots, I would just recommend that you take out the pit and then you you dry them with the skin side down. Whenever you have a skin side, let's say peaches or plums, things like that, you always want to do the skin side down so that it catches all of the juices and it helps your fruit to get really, just to remain really chewy when it's dried. Okay, bananas. Bananas are great to dehydrate. Now, I have these weird memories of my mother. She would dehydrate whole bananas, and I thought it looked so odd. And they would, you know, turn kind of blackish, but they tasted so good, and we would take them hiking, and it was kind of this nice, chewy banana bar. I don't know. It was delicious. But I have tried just slicing them. And, of course, bananas, we just know they go brown really easily. So you don't really look at a banana when you eat it, you know, a dried banana. You just kind of have to eat it and love how sweet and delicious it is. So it's something maybe you could sneak into a gorp or something like that. But if you try to dip it in juice, it just gets soggy and mushy, and you don't want that. So the other option you have is to sulfurize it, but I wouldn't recommend that. I just sounds frightening to me to sulfurize anything. Okay, let's talk about cherries. Cherries are excellent, too. If you have a cherry pitter, just pit those cherries and stick them on. There's no need to, most of the time, there's no need to peel your fruit at all. I do apples. I do peel my apples and sometimes my peaches if they're a little bit, you know, fuzzy and weird. But there's no need to do cherries, and cherries are great. They just get darker. So do currants, things like that, plums. They get really dark. Another one, citrus peel. How many of you have ever tried to dehydrate your own citrus peel? In the winter, when lemons go on sale, I buy a bunch of lemons, and I juice the juice, and I put them in my freezer just in small snack-sized bags, maybe, I don't know, quarter cup portion, so that if I need fresh lemon juice, I have it, or fresh lime juice. Anyway, but I take the fruit itself before it's juiced, and I'll grate it with a Parmesan cheese grater. It's really the easiest way not to make a big mess. It's one of those long grating tools. Have you ever seen those? And sometimes they use them for nutmeg, things like that. And I just grate, 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 grate until I get right to the white. You don't want to take any of the white of the fruit off. And then you just put them on your dehydrating tray. Of course, you want to use, when you're using something so small that it can fall through the cracks of your dehydrating tray, just make sure to put down your fruit leather tray, which is the solid tray. Then you can catch everything, and within 20 minutes, it's all done. And it's really yummy. And so I would recommend that you just take the peel and that you put it in your refrigerator or your freezer till you're ready to use it. And you can add it to salad dressings and muffins and breads and all kinds of things. But then, you know, you're really maximizing on your fruit, and you're not wasting any. So remember that next time you buy limes or lemons, you can dehydrate the peels. All right, coconuts. Do you know you can dry coconuts? I've never done it myself, but they say that it's a great thing to do, and it stores for about 2 to 4 months. I just like fresh coconut. Dates and figs, grapes, all of these are excellent. Kiwi fruit. How many of you ever tried to dry kiwi fruit? It's another one of those great things, and I would recommend if you're going to do a lot of dehydrating of fruit, well, and of vegetables too, that you invest in a good little food processor, something that slices very evenly, or even a mandolin. Even a handheld mandolin that has like a V blade, that's really the ideal. They're not expensive, but they cut everything uniformly, which is really important because you don't want some drying be done drying and then other ones still wet and soggy, and then that can really cause a problem with mold when you go to store your food. So I like to take my kiwi and I'll just slice, slice, slice into thin slices, and then I put it on a dehydrating tray. And then I can take my strawberry, slice, 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 put that on top of the kiwi, take some mango, slice, 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 and you can make like a fruit sandwich, and you can dry them all together. And you know, because they have the natural sugar and the natural juices, they kind of all meld together in this beautiful little, let's say, fruit cookie on your fruit leather tray. And that makes such a really delightful snack. So I think things like that are just really creative, and, you know, having a tropical fruit snack, you never can find that in the grocery store without it being loaded with sugar. So just, you know, think of some combinations that you would really like. Maybe an apple and a you know, pear or something like that. Pears are fabulous for dehydrating.
Yeah. And I would Nitra, yeah. There's a question in the chat room about dehydrating eggs. Do you have any
Have you done that?
No, I have never done that. And, you know, I know that I've never tried dehydrating eggs, but I know that they freeze dry, you know, just the egg powder. They make an egg powder, but they freeze dry it. And I eggs are so frightening to me because I don't know how, you know, just like potatoes are frightening for me. I just am not sure, you know, because there's a sulfurization process that takes place. And I don't know how you would dehydrate eggs. I really don't. I am not the novice on or the know-how on that. So I'm sorry I don't have that information.
Yeah, well, I've never heard of dehydrating eggs, but certainly egg powder.
No, but I know they make an egg powder. Yeah, but that's a great question. One thing that you want to remember if you're going to be dehydrating, a lot of people grow gardens and they have things like garlic and onions and peppers. Remember that those should all be dehydrated separately. You know, they can be done with each other, but never with other things that are more mild, because that'll just destroy the whole flavor of everything. And that's what's so great about having a good dehydrating machine, a good dehydrator, is that you can put on really any fruits and any vegetables. I even do beef jerky along with it all, and they never taste like each other. And I can take one off as it dries and one off as it dries, and I have a dehydrator that holds up to 30 trays of food at the same time, and it's just a fabulous machine. In fact, the one that I use and that I promote on my website is the Nesco American Harvest Garden Master, and that's it comes with eight regular trays, and then it comes with eight mesh trays. You want to use the mesh trays for smaller foods, like if you're good at great foods, and then it comes with eight fruit leather trays, but it expands. You can add up to 30 trays. The most I've ever used is 18, and it worked great. It took a little bit longer to dry, but the whole concept of having a good dehydrator, you want to watch for airflow. And sometimes when you buy cheap dehydrators, you'll have, you know, these big sheets, maybe big square sheets or rectangle sheets, but it's only coming up through the sides. The airflow just comes up through the sides. The reason I like the round one is because the airflow comes up through the center and around all the sides. And it's very even. I never have to rotate my trays, which is great. So what I typically do is I'll put the fruits or vegetables that take the longest to do at the bottom, like my fruit leather, for example, or my apples or my pineapple. And then I'll stack my vegetables on top that don't take so long, and then my beef jerky at the very top that really doesn't take so long, and maybe my citrus peels on the top of that. And so bit by bit by bit, I just pull them off as they're finished, and I love it. It's really great. Now, even in the summer, if you can take your dehydrator outside and put it on your back porch or whatever, it'll really help to increase that drying time as well because of the heat. And so you can usually shave about 2 hours off an eight-hour project. So it's really nice, and it's quite quiet, easy to clean. I recommend that when you're doing juicy fruits or leaky vegetables or things like that, that you always take a dehydrating or a fruit leather tray and just put it at the very, very bottom of your dehydrating machine, you know, above the motor, right before you start stacking, because that helps to catch the juices as well. It makes cleanup a lot easier. Now, before we go on, I might forget to tell you this. So if you have a dehydrator and you're having troubles with cleaning the trays, how do you get the sticky and the gunky without getting the brush out? And that can be really time-consuming. What I have found that works best is I take all of my trays once I'm done with, you know, 4 or 5 days of really good dehydrating, and I'll fill up my tub with the hottest water, and then I'll put in about a half a cup of Epsom salt and let that dissolve. And within an hour, it just everything has fallen off the trays. It's just clean as can be. And then I take out the trays and really scrub them down just to rinse them off with a good detergent, dish detergent. And then I let them sun dry. So that's a great way to get the scum off without having to, you know, ruin your nails or really, really have to deal with the sticky. And you want to make sure, because especially if you're spraying your trays, for example, with vegetable oil, sometimes you'll get kind of that gunky stuff on your trays. And this is the best way to avoid it, is to, before you store those trays away, make sure that they're cleaned well. Okay, so let's move on to peaches and pears. Peaches and pears, you know, you can kind of decide if you want to peel those or not. You can just flash blanch them if you want. You can just bring your water to a boil, throw them in, put them in ice water, and all of the peel will come off by itself. Or you can just maybe pierce it a little bit with a fork. But I would take and I feel that if you just slice them thin enough, they're going to be great. Peaches, sometimes people like them in wedges, and that's okay too. It just takes a little longer. And you can even, you know, brush them with pineapple juice if you want for, you know, just to keep them a little bit lighter. I have heard of people using what's called fruit fresh. It's a powder that people put in, let's say, for their jams and things like that to help the colors stay nice and bright. but I have not had success with that myself. I really don't care to do that. So I rather use a natural juice. Okay, and then pineapples, like I said, you can use, if you want to use, you know, your canned pineapple, you can. I love to use the fresh pineapple when it's, you know, when it's a good season. I think now is a great time to do pineapple. You have to be really careful, though, to get all of those little, you know, those prickles off. And so cut a little bit deeper into your pineapple than you normally would, because that's just so tough. And when you go to bite into it when it's dehydrated, you just about break your teeth. So just remember, a lot of people say, well, can you dehydrate canned fruit? That's really kind of a no-no. And I've had okay success with the pineapple. I really like that. But canned fruit usually is just doused in a heavy corn syrupy syrup. And so you're going to get more like candy, a really high fructose candy out of your dehydrated fruit, and it takes hours and hours and hours just to get all the wet out. So I wouldn't recommend that. But canned fruit that's nearing its expiration date is a perfect thing to use for fruit leather, and we'll talk about that in just a few minutes. Okay, we'll end up with strawberries. Strawberries are great. Again, you want to make sure that there are no bruises, that they're not overripe. If they're overripe, use them in your fruit leather. But if they're just perfectly fresh and ripe to eat, then just slice them. You could even slice them in halves if you want. I like to do them kind of in slices just on my mandolin, because then when they're dry, I can put them in my oatmeal or in, you know, my kids' lunches or something like that, and they're just really, really tasty. So really the advantage of dehydrating fruits is you can really watch the sugar content. If you've ever gone to buy dehydrated fruit at, let's say, a Costco or just a major place where they have all, you know, they have the big chunks of dried fruit, the dry mango, that is full of sugar. So you can, you know, you can do it a lot better yourself. Now, I'd like to recommend a book to you, and I think it's just fabulous. In fact, if you ever decide to purchase the dehydrator on my website, I give you the book for free. It's by Deanna DeLong, and it's called How to Dry Foods. It is the greatest book I've ever run across on dehydrating. It's like a Bible for how to dehydrate fruits and vegetables and herbs and all kinds of recipes. It even has like jerky and fish and all kinds of things. So really goes through the detail of how to choose your foods, how to prepare them, how to dry them, how to store them. It's the best thing. I just love it. I'm sure you can find it on Amazon as well. Again, it's called How to Dry Foods by Deanna DeLong. So now let's talk about fruit leather, because this is a really favorite snack of ours, and it's very easy to do. And I'm going to tell you about a myth, because a lot of people say, well, it's so ridiculous, because if I want to make fruit leather, it's going to take a whole blender full just to make, you know, three rolls, but that's a lot of strawberries, or that's a lot of, you know, peaches or whatever. Well, here's the trick, and this is what I've used for years, and the reason why I have is because everybody loves a fruit leather that's chewy, don't they? We don't like brittle fruit leather. And what's the key here is you have to pick a fruit that has a lot of pectin, and the pectin gives it the chewiness. So the two fruits that have the highest pectin are apples and pears. So let's say you wanted to make a strawberry leather. But you want it to, you know, strawberry leather, if you make it with all strawberries, it's going to be really crispy and crunchy. Or it's just going to be so expensive you can't afford to make it at home. So what I do instead is I take five cups of pear sauce or applesauce, and you can, you know, either use your steamed apples that you've done yourself, or I go to, you know, Costco and I buy the big, huge thing of applesauce. It has no sugar added. It's purely Washington apple puree. And I put 5 cups of that in my blender, and I add 1 cup of fruit. So whether it's blueberries or oranges or pears or peaches or strawberries, whatever I want it to be, I add only 1 cup of fruit, and guess what? It changes everything. Because not only do you have the chewy that you love, but you also have the color and the flavor that you want it to have. But you've not only saved money, and you've just been smarter than smart, and you've made this beautiful leather. And so now if you don't have a dehydrator, you can put this in your oven and you can actually, you know, lay it on the trays. Of course, it takes a little longer. But if you turn your oven to 180 degrees and you open the oven just a crack and then turn it on, it'll take a few hours. I just don't like my oven running so long. It just drives me crazy. So you just put it on your trays. Remember, before you pour it on your trays, you want to make sure to spray your trays so that it doesn't stick. Fruit leather takes about 10 hours to dry, and I can do, you know, 15 at a time if I want. But one blender full typically makes 3 fruit leather trays full of fruit leather. So after the 10 hours is over, you want to make sure to take the leather off while it's still warm, just as soon as you've turned off the machine. We dry it at, I think, 182 degrees. That's the highest temperature it goes on a dehydrator. Just pull it off, and then what I do is I roll it while it's warm. I roll it up into a big, long roll. It looks like a big lifesaver, so I roll up the lifesaver, and then I grab a big piece of plastic, and I roll it inside the plastic. And then I cut that big, huge roll into maybe 4 or 5 pieces, and I stick them all in an airtight container, and that's what I have for my kids' lunches, for snacks, or after school, or whatever. But it's delicious, and you can do all kinds of flavors, which is so nice and so cheaply. So when apples, when you can get apples at the farmer's market, a big bushel of them, I would recommend that you just go to town and make your own applesauce and then make tons of fruit leather. And fruit leather can also be frozen. But one of the things that I love about fruit leather is that you can also make gourmet fruit leather. So if one of my favorites is apple leather. So I do applesauce, straight applesauce with a little bit of cinnamon sugar and a little bit of pineapple juice. And then when that's done drying, my kids are crazy about Nutella, and it's just that hazelnut spread. So we'll take some and spread it all over that big lifesaver of fruit leather, and we'll roll it up, and I'll cut it in bite-sized pieces. I tell you, that's such a hit at my house. What if you made pumpkin fruit leather, and you did like a cream cheese filling? And it doesn't have to be really thick. It's pretty thin. It's just like you're putting peanut butter on bread. Roll it up, and you can cut it. You can even do shredded coconut or sprinkled walnuts or whatever on your fruit leather before you dry it, and then it dries into the leather. And it's just beautiful. It looks like it's so gourmet, and you spend, you know, so much time making it. But just to be able to, you know, experiment a little bit with your fruit is kind of fun. And people love to have different things. And I think more and more families are turning to more healthy snacks than those sugar-laden things at the grocery store. I am shocked whenever, and my kids, it's so funny, they don't know how nice they have it. They don't know how great it is to always have homemade food because they're just so used to it. But when they go to school and they bring these fruit roll-ups, their friends are like, oh, I'll trade anything for that. You can have my Oreos. You know, you can have my soda. And my kids say, are you kidding me? You know, what on earth? And then, you know, my kids, once in a while, my 7-year-old will come home and he'll say, but Mom, why don't you ever buy fruit roll-ups at the store? They have tattoos. And I think to myself, oh, dear, no wonder. These tattoos stay on your hands for 2 weeks. I don't want that in your body. But, you know, at that age, they just don't understand. So I keep threatening my kids, you know, once when you leave home, you're going to appreciate all this good food you get at home. So that's how that is. Anyway, so there you go for great fruit leather. Now let's talk about just other ways to use your dried fruit. When you use your dried fruit, let's say in baking, if you want to make muffins or put it in breads or cakes or things like that, it doesn't have to be reconstituted very long. Let's say that you're going to make an apple crisp. Oh, while we're on apples, let me just tell you about this for applesauce. If you have some dehydrated apples in your pantry, all you do is you take 1 quart full of those apples and you put it in a pot of boiling water, 4 cups of boiling water, and in 15 minutes it'll just soften up. You'll let it boil and then lower the temperature for a few more minutes. And then you can add sugar if you want to taste it, maybe a little bit of cinnamon. And it makes 4 cups of the most divine applesauce. It's just so good. Now, if another video that I have on my website is how to make an apple crisp using a volcano stove. And if any of you have ever tried that, it's just in a Dutch oven and using a volcano stove outside. But what I did is I just took some apples right out of a quart jar. I put them in my little pie dish, and I let them soak there for maybe 5 minutes just to get soft enough. And then I added all my breading, whatever. And I did this apple crisp. It was just so yummy. And so, you know, especially in the winter months when, well, I guess apples are more kind of a fall, winter fruit, but maybe in the summer, I guess. I don't know when they're not as in season. I'm not sure when they really come out. But it's great to have a backup plan. It's nice to have apples say, oh, you know, I'm just in a hurry. I don't have time to sit here and slice and dice and all that. It's just great to be able to take them out of the can and to use them. Now, I always store my fruits and vegetables that I dehydrate in glass jars. I feel like they last longer that way. In fact, I've discovered a really great tool a few years ago. It's like a little hand pump, and you can put it right on your wide mouth jars, and it pumps the air out, and it extends the shelf life of that food 3 times because it sucks all the air out, which is really great. And so if you don't have the reason I like them in jars is because if you suck it out of a bag like those, can't remember what those, anyway, those machines that suck them out of the bag, it tends to crunch and break all of your vegetables and fruit. So I don't really like that. It's food saver, that's it. Anyway, so that might be a better option for you. You can also freeze your dried fruits and vegetables, and they'll last a little bit longer. But let's talk about things like the apple flakes. You know, I have a source, and they're all on my website as well. If you don't want to dehydrate your own fruits, you can buy them. But let me just tell you, that if you can learn to make your own things that you eat every day, let's say oatmeal packets, those are one of my favorite things. And I can use my own strawberries, my own blueberries, raspberries, whatever I want to dehydrate. Or I like to take my apples and cut them in little pieces. And I just put them in little tiny snack-sized bags with some oats, some ground-up oats, some powdered milk, a little bit of salt, and a little bit of brown sugar. And it makes the most incredible instant oatmeal packet with my own fruit. And I make up about 50 at a time, stick in a basket, and then my kids just eat them when they're hungry. And there's no preservatives there. There's no extra sugar, you know, than you want to put in. I mean, it's just a really family-friendly thing. A lot of people say, well, I wish that my kids would eat more fruit. And I think, wow, then maybe you want to introduce dried fruits to them, because you know what? They're kind of more snacky. They're easier to eat, I think, than fresh food. Sometimes apples are too big for little mouths. But if you can have little apple chips on the counter, or if you can put, you know, pineapple with some nuts and some sunflower seeds or whatever, it's just fun to eat because it's colorful. So sometimes just being a little creative with how we present things can really go a long way. Another thing that I want to talk about is yogurt chips. Now, for those of you who received my newsletter, I had a video on this, I think just yesterday, on how to make your own yogurt chips. And this is kind of another concept where we make our own yogurt, but you can just buy yogurt at the store that's flavored, or you can just take some of your yogurt and put some fruit in it and then blend it really well. And then I just take a tiny little cookie scoop and spray my trays really well, and then just dollop maybe a tablespoon of these yogurts, just a dollop of yogurt all over these trays, leave about an inch in between. And then these take a long time. It takes about 9 hours for them to dry, but then another couple hours just on low, just to be kind of
Anitra, we're just about finished here and I need to wrap up. I know the time
know
goes
so many
fast
things.
When you're here.
Okay, well, I'm going to wrap it up then. Let me finish about the yogurt chips, and we'll just wrap it up. But anyway, you take them off, and you let them air dry, and they are just this chewy, yummy thing. It's just like having fruit leather, but it's in a fruit chip. So it's really good. Anyway, so take advantage of all that there is to do with dehydrating. I really think they're a great resource out there. Check out this book. I think it's great. But I think it's one way to become more self-sufficient, you know, to do more for yourself, feel better about the foods that you're feeding your family. And again, for those of you who want to follow me on simplylivingsmart.com, become a member. It's free. You can see all kinds of videos, and there's a lot of resources. Simplylivingsmart.com. And thanks so much for following me on the show. I've just so enjoyed being here. Thanks, Pat. And thanks, Andy.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, Anitra. I've learned so much from you. Gosh, now I got to get a dehydrator. It's
yes,
never ending. Okay,
that's
Whisper,
after
do you
have a solar oven?
Yes, and a solar oven and a dehydrator and another chicken house.
Oh, well, you have a great afternoon.
Thank you, and you too. Have a great life.
Thank you.
Absolutely. We wish you all the best. We wish you all the best in your endeavors. And give us your website one more time so we can make sure all our listeners know to continue following you.
Great. It's simplylivingsmart.com.
Perfect.
You
thank
there.
You very Thank you, Anitra.
Thank you, Andy. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All righty, folks. Just want to let you know that tomorrow is our special guest will be the last. Let's see what we got here. On the 29th, I guess that would be. Now, wait a minute. How many Thursdays were there? Tomorrow may be open because we actually have 5 Thursdays in the month. Normally,
mm-hmm.
the first and third Thursdays, Bridget McRae, PhD, poultry scientist. Second and fourth is Richard Frudenberger. So I just noticed that. So I'm going to have to get on the ball to make sure we have a very, very nice and good special guest for tomorrow's show. And then, of course, tomorrow or Friday will be another episode of course, Fun Friday. We'll be giving away a few great prizes. And don't forget, this coming Monday, May 3rd, we're going to kick off the Chicken Coop Contest, sponsored by MyPetChicken.com and Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. And we're working all the logistics out for that. That'll start this Monday the 3rd. You'll have a chance to win a beautiful, beautiful chicken coop from MyPetChicken.com, valued at $350. We'll give that away on Monday, May 31st, a one-month contest for that. And so tune in tomorrow right here on Blog Talk Radio, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Pat?
Yeah, well, in closing, thanks again to all our sponsors. And Anitra Kerr, thanks so much for being with us as a guest for so many months. We've all just learned tremendous amounts from you. And Andy, thanks for bringing us all together and for doing all that you do. We're looking forward so much to the future because there's so much to learn and so many things to share. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio for providing the chat room services. And, of course, you chicken chat room chickeneers, can't say that too quickly. We love you all. Blessings to everyone, and may the flock be with you.